If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I have a thought. We'll see how far that the Lord will allow me to get in the thought. In Deuteronomy, we ended in verse 28, or chapter 28, I'm sorry, last week. And I want to pick up there. We're talking about blessings and cursings. I'm not going to oversimplify the life of a believer, but I do want you to know that it really just comes down to either we're going to do what God says and be blessed, or we're not going to do what God says and be cursed. And so as you hold your place here in Deuteronomy chapter number 28, after Moses takes the children of Israel. Now, I realize what's going to happen here. What's going to happen here is someone's going to say, well, you know, that's to the children of Israel. That's Old Testament. But I want you to know that these things were written for our admonition, okay, for our learning. It's not. Now, there's some things that, well, we're just not going to do it this way. We're not, because God was dealing with a nation, and God was dealing in a different covenant. But we can learn from these things. We can learn truths. And some of these teachings certainly have moved forward over into the New Testament. As a matter of fact, when we see what God is teaching here, you just take, for example, Hebrews. Hebrews says that, you know what, God tells you what to do, you can do it. And if you don't, you can expect discipline. You know, kind of like, and I'm paraphrasing, kind of like our earthly fathers, when they told us to do things and we didn't do it, well, then there was correction. And he said, it's not joyful, you know, for the moment, it's grievous. But in the end, it works the peaceable fruit of righteousness. In other words, God has your best interest in mind, just like your parent, just like your father in an ideal home would have your best interest in mind. That's why he's giving you instructions. That's why mom and dad are telling you things to do and not to do, to protect you and to put you in a position to lead your best life possible. And he said that's what our Heavenly Father does, and that's in Hebrews. The Bible also teaches in 1 Peter chapter number 4 that judgment must begin in the house of God. And so, you know, we just have to understand that God means what he says, and he says what he means. God doesn't change his rules for you. And God's not going to change his rules for me. God's not going to change his word. God is merciful, and I'm glad that he is, aren't you? And God is gracious, and I'm thankful that he is. But now understand something. God doesn't play with sin. God doesn't wink at sin, and God doesn't overlook sin. And you have some choices to make, and so do I. And so as we look at chapter number 30, after Moses spoke to the children of Israel, we're going to pick up in verse number 15 of chapter 30, and I'm just going to read some scripture to you. I'm just going to speak to you. I don't even know that I'll preach. I may, but I can tell you this. I see a lot of problems here in Christianity today, and I think it really comes down to this right here. I think people are making terrible choices. And it's not just for young people. It's for Christians across the board. Christian people are just making terrible choices. And I think we've gotten to the place where we think that, you know what, well, God understands. Or God will be okay with it. God's not okay with sin. Never. God punishes sin. God judges sin. And he's going to judge it in your life. You say, well, I'm going to play hardball. God can play hardball. And so I just want you to know. You know, so, well, I'm going to do it my way. Well, God will let you do it your way and then reap the consequences of doing it your way. Now, he will. And so I don't know what's gotten into people to think, well, you know, I don't have to do it God's way, then I'll still turn out okay. No, you won't. Not because the preacher said so, but because God's word said so. So let's just read. Now, this sounds like, it just sounds so simple, but because God knows the heart of man, he asked these questions. Look at verse 15. I mean, who wouldn't choose life over death? Right? Chapter 30, Deuteronomy, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give them. He's basically saying to another generation of people, to another nationality of people, his chosen people nationally, Israel, he's saying, listen, this is not difficult, okay? God says there's things you should do, and there's things you shouldn't do. God says, I command you to do this, I command you not to do this, but you get to choose. But now remember, the choices that you make have consequences attached to them. If you choose to obey, well, God's going to bless you, and God's going to prosper you, and God's going to see that you have your need met through life. Doesn't mean God will love you anymore. Just means that God's going to honor his word because you honored his word, and so he's going to make provision for you. However, if you choose to disobey, God will allow me to disobey him. God will allow you to disobey him. However, there's consequences for that. And so there's going to be punishment, and there's going to be destruction, and there's going to be discouragement, and there's going to be all kinds of physical and spiritual and emotional setback in our lives because we did not honor the word of the Lord as God's people. So when you look, you would think, well, let's look at it one more time. Go back, if you would, to verse number 19. Right in the middle of that verse says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Who would say, nope, don't want to live, want to die? Choose blessing. Nope, want cursing. I want the curse of God to be on my life. Well, God said, sure, you're going to choose life. Moses said, sure, you're going to choose blessing. However, it's not just enough to choose it with your lips. You have to choose it by the decisions that you make and the life that you live. And that's why afterward he said in verse number 21, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice and cleave unto him. Do what God says do. It'll work out well for you. Doesn't mean you won't have any problems. I'm not going to offer you any false promises here tonight. I'm not telling you anything different. I'm probably not telling you anything you don't already know. I'm just reminding you. Life sometimes has complex places in it, but life in itself, when it comes down to really making choices, is just yay or nay. I'm going to do what God says, or I'm not going to do what God says. It really just comes down to that. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to be tempted and drawn and lured by the devil, by the world, and by our flesh, which we don't like to admit because that somehow indicts us. It's always easy to say, well, you know, it's that devil. Well, sure, it's the devil. Sure, it's the devil will tempt you to make the wrong choice, tempt me to make the wrong choice, tempt me, tempt you to do the wrong thing when we know what is right. But the flesh will lie to you.
You do realize that. You will lie to yourself. So I just want to take that thought just for a moment, and I want to help you to see where maybe some of the problem is. Now, I'm not indicting anybody in here. I just want you to know that this is a battle that people fight. Yes, the devil is a deceiver, all right? Yes, there are teachers and there's people in the world that are deceivers, and they will try to deceive you. They will try to deceive me. They have deceived many, and they will continue to try to deceive. But I think the person that we need to be most concerned with about being deceived is me deceiving me and you deceiving you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that I am my greatest deceiver, and you are your greatest deceiver. And so I'm just going to ask you to turn to a few verses of Scripture. And then I want to say something about justified. We've been talking about being justified in Romans. And we know that God justifies the ungodly. Is that right? You say, well, now God justifies men. Well, now you need to look a little closer. Romans chapter number 4 says God justifies the ungodly. So you have to say you're a sinner before you can get justified. Is that right? Yeah. You've read Romans 4, right? We'll look at it. Romans 4, 4 and 5 says that God justifies the ungodly. All right? Now, man will try to justify himself and say, I'm not that bad. I'm just as good as, and then you can fill in the blank. Right? You choose somebody and you say, well, I'm just as good as, and then you fill in the blank. And somehow we justify ourselves. And the Bible teaches that that's one of the biggest deceptions. It's when we go to try to really view ourselves, we don't view ourselves as God views us or in the light of God's word. We view ourselves in the light of somebody who doesn't live for God or who's backslidden or who's a carnal Christian. And we say, well, you know what? I'm just as good as that fellow over there. Well, that doesn't mean a thing. That you're not going to answer for that fellow over there, and he's not going to answer for you. It's the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to answer for you, and I'm going to answer for me. But we like to compare ourselves with others. So please, I want you just to hear this thought. All right, so let's start by looking. First of all, let's look at this thing of deception. Because that's what's happening here. I ask you to go to chapter 28. Before we begin to turn to some New Testament scripture, I want you to notice something that happens in chapter 28. We began looking at this last week, and we'll come back to it after next Wednesday when Brother Ouellette is here. But if you'll notice in chapter 27... we'll pick up in verse 15. We laid the background last week. Remember the two mountains, Ebal, Gerizim, the Levites calling out, and the people on one side, you know, saying, amen, when he would lay the cursings out. And he began that in verse 15. And so I want you to look in chapter 27 of Deuteronomy. Are you there? Take your Bible, turn to chapter 27 and look at it. And it says, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. In other words, listen. Look, if you are involved in idol worship, if there are things that you, that just, your heart is just pulled away from God, and just, you begin to make graven images, and you begin to look up to that as a God, listen, God said, that's going to bring curse to your life. And he said, I want you to understand it. Tell me you understand. And they said, amen. That's what he said I want you to say. So be it. That's right. We agree with you, Lord. That's when people say amen in church. That's what they're saying. Right? When the preacher's preaching and someone says, you know, it's amen, they're saying, so be it. That's true. We agree. And so God said it, and they said, we agree. God said, I want you to know what I'm saying because you're going to be held accountable for it. All right? Look at the next one here, verse 16. Now, we're not going to go through every one of them. Verse 16, real problem in our day. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, amen. Now, what does that mean? It means that setteth light means that they hold them in contempt. They take them lightly. They disrespect them. And God said, listen, I will curse your life for disrespecting your parents. Now, young folks, listen to me. I believe for the most part, there's some good young people in our congregation. It is one of the most dishonorable things that you can do in God's sight to dishonor your parents. And I want to go even a step further than that. When you dishonor an elderly person, God doesn't take that lightly. When you walk in the room and there's an elderly person, you show them respect. As a matter of fact, if you're sitting down and an elderly person walks in the room, you ought to stand to your feet, walk to them, look them in the face, and say hello to them and offer them a handshake. Show respect to the elderly, young folks. God will honor that in your life. You'll never be sorry for respecting your elders, but you will be sorry for disrespecting them. All right? You'll get far in life by respecting people in authority over you. When you disrespect people in authority that God has placed over you in authority, God does not hold that lightly. And I want you to know that. And I'm telling you this to be a help to you, okay? Now, God said this. He said, I want you to answer me. Amen. All right? I understand that. He said, I want you to know now. So when your parents tell you to do something, talking back, rolling your eyes, letting out a big sigh, disobeying, turning a deaf ear is going to bring cursing to your life. Not me, preacher. Yes, you. Yes, you. Well, God won't do it to me. God is just that he cannot lie. And God keeps his word. And he will make no exception with you. And I just want you to know this. And I'm trying to save you from some trouble in your life. You say, well, I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it. Well, now, yes, you may, but not without consequences. So think it through. Okay, let's look at the next one. Verse 17. And he that removeth his labors, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, amen. What do you mean removeth his neighbor's landmark? What's that mean? Well, it's kind of like property pins. You can't be dishonest. You can't take something that doesn't belong to you. You can. But God said, there'll be a curse on your life. It's not going to end well for you. You'll start losing sleep. You'll start having physical problems. You'll start having mental lapses. You'll start not doing so well financially. You'll start worrying. You see, God judges sin, brethren. Just because God doesn't come down and smash you with a hammer like you're a flea when you sin, that doesn't mean God looked over your sin. God's the best record keeper in the universe. And he knows. And I want you to know this. And he sees. All right? And so please don't deceive yourself into thinking, well, I got by with it. No, you didn't. Nobody ever has gotten by with sin. Ever, ever, ever. And so please understand. Now, we could go through these, and I'm not going to. But just so you know, God's not all about cursing people. God loves to bless people. And he says in chapter 28, he said, I want to bless you. He said in verse number 2, all these blessings shall come on thee. God said, I want to bless you. And he said, I will bless you if you'll honor me. He said, I'm just going to let you choose. You can choose to honor and obey and be blessed, or you can choose to dishonor and disobey and not be blessed. But you get to choose. I get to choose. It's really not that hard. God, listen, the line's not gray, brethren. The line's not gray. God makes it about as black as it can be and about as white as it can be when it comes to right and wrong. Amen? Amen. And so please don't say, well, you know, I'd live right if I just knew what was right. You know what's right. You know what's right. Our problem is not that we don't know. It's just we're not doing what we do know. And God said that's the good way to bring cursing on your life and on your family. You say, well, I'm doing good. Well, now, God may be giving you space for repentance. Romans 2:4, the goodness of God worketh repentance. And God will be good to you and God will be good to me, even when we are not doing what we should do, because he's given us space to make it right. But now, don't you think that God is unjust, that he is not going to require our sin. God will require our sin. And God will give us space for repentance and confession when we make poor choices. And the Spirit of God convicts us in our heart and says, you've done the wrong thing. He will give us an opportunity to make it right. Is that what the Scripture teaches? It sure is. And so he lists these things, and I just want to list a few of them before I get to my points. Look at verse number 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field, in verse number 28. Okay, or chapter 28, verse 3. God said, I'll bless you in your home. I'll bless you at your work. I'll bless you whether you're in the city, where you live in the city, whether you live in the country. I'll bless you whether you're at home, whether you're in the field working. I'll bless you. I'll bless every area of your life. Can I tell you that I have lived this? You have lived this. If you've lived for God any length of time, you know God will bless you obeying His word. Now, the devil's going to tempt you not to. He is. Goes all the way back to the garden, brethren. All the way back. It's amazing to me how we can be. God told Adam and Eve, listen, he said, you can do this, this, this. I mean, countless things you can do. He said, but now this one thing you can't do. Guess what? You know the story. God tells you the same thing. You can do this, 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 and this. Adam and Eve didn't eat of that tree because they didn't understand. Adam and Eve ate of that tree because they chose to. Now, Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't. He just took of it because he wanted to follow his wife. You read the Bible. The Bible says that Adam was not deceived. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2, being in the transgression. All right? He made a choice. Eve was tempted, and she yielded to temptation. She was deceived. But Adam just went ahead and just willfully sinned. Read the scriptures. Scripture teaches it. Sometimes we can be deceived into making a poor choice and doing the wrong thing. Doesn't mean that we're not going to be held accountable for it, that we need to confess it and ask God to forgive us of it. But then there's times that we are not deceived. Sometimes we sin like Eve and we're deceived and we yield to temptation and we just make a poor choice. But sometimes we're not deceived. We know what we're doing. We know that it's wrong and we just do it anyway. Is that right, brethren? It is. And it's an indictment on us. And yet I'm thankful that God has made a way that we could have forgiveness if we would just acknowledge that we've sinned and confess it. The Bible teaches that God is faithful and just to forgive us. But now if we have a poor attitude toward it and we have this attitude to where, you know what, it doesn't matter. I'm going to continue to do what I want to do and nobody's going to tell me what to do. God said, well, yeah, we're going to see about that. We're going to see about that. But I am going to tell you what to do. Sooner or later, I'm going to deal with that attitude in your life. So please, if you think that it's okay to live any way you want and to just make decisions without consulting God and I'm going to do what I want to do, please understand what I'm telling you. There's consequences down the road, and they're not favorable for you. So now we could go right down on through here, and we will get back to this. Because God really says, I want to bless you, and I will, and I'll bless your life, and I'll just some of the words. Let's just look at some of these words. Look, if you would, in verse number 8, okay? Right in the middle of verse number 8, he said, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, God said, I'm going to bless you in all that thou settest thy hand to do. So that's what God wants to do. Look, if you would, in verse number 9, the Lord shall establish. That means that he's going to ground you. God says, you're not going to just be blown about. You know, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? God said, I'm not going to allow you to have that mindset. I'm going to give you wisdom. And I'm going to establish you. And I'm going to give you decisiveness to where you can come down on the right side in your decision making. I want to bless you that way, God says. See, sometimes we think blessing is something you wear on your back or on your feet or carry in your pocket. But sometimes God blesses us by giving us some of these things. He grounds us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us discernment and insight to make decisions in life. And we ought to recognize these things and realize God is my helper in these areas. He's honoring me because I'm honoring His word. And He'll honor everyone that honors His word. Just this way. So there's that word established. Then the latter part of verse number 9. Walk and walk in his ways. So it's talking about being grounded. Look at verse number 10. The latter part of verse number 10 says, and they shall be afraid of thee. They'll respect you. You You say, well, I don't want to be respected. Well, sure you do. Everyone wants to be respected. And people that don't even respect their self. If you don't respect yourself, you have no self-worth, no self-esteem. God gives everyone self-worth and self-esteem. In order to maintain it, you honor His word, and He builds, and He allows you to realize that you're valuable to God's economy. And that's what God's telling them. And so write on down. Look at verse number 11. And the Lord shall make thee, what? Plenteous. See these blessings? All of these are words of blessings. God's going to bless. God's going to make you plenteous to the point to where you're going to be a giver in life and not a taker. Look at verse number 12, the last part. And thou shalt lend unto many nations. You see that in the latter part of verse number 12? And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. In other words, you're going to lend, you're going to give, but you shall not borrow, you're not going to take. God said, I'll make you a giver in life, not a taker. I'll bless you that way, to where you can give. Listen, the greatest blessing in life when it comes to giving and receiving, it's giving, right? Not taking. And God said, I'll put you on the good side of this thing of giving and taking. What blessings these are. Why? He said, if you'll keep my word, if you'll make the right choices, I'll honor you because you've honored my word. Now, what keeps man from doing that? It's not hard. Listen, it's not hard to read let's just take the Ten Commandments, brethren. Let's just take the Ten Commandments. Who could look at any of the Ten Commandments and say, you know what? This is just wrong. This is upside down. Who could look at just any of the Ten Commandments and say, you know what? Why would God tell somebody not to steal? There's nothing wrong with stealing. Well, you know there's something wrong with stealing. God's commandments are not grievous, right? Isn't that what the Scripture teaches? God's commandments are not grievous. But yet sometimes we're tempted to break them even when we know they're not right. Why? Well, let's talk about that. I want you to take your Bible. I'm going to ask you to turn to a few Scriptures and then I'll be through tonight. But I want you to get this, okay? Preacher, what is it? Why do I struggle to do the right thing? What is it? I know what God says. I know what God said to do. I've done it and been blessed. And yet I find myself sometimes on the wrong side of it. What's going on here? Well, there's a deceiver. And the deceiver certainly is the devil. And the world will deceive you. But can I tell you, you are your worst deceiver, and I am my worst deceiver. And the Bible teaches it. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures, and I hope you'll go home. I hope this just whets your appetite enough to know that if you're not careful, you'll have yourself believing that wrong choices are okay. And that going against God's word does not have negative consequences. Everybody's doing it, you might say. Or I've done it before and nothing happened. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that people deceive themselves. I don't see anything wrong with it. Did God say it was wrong? If God said it's wrong, it's wrong. Whether you see anything wrong with it or I see anything wrong with it or not. Right and wrong is not determined by what I think or you think. Right and wrong is concerned about what God said. Is that right, brethren? God determines what's right and wrong, not man. And so I want you to turn, let's start in Galatians. Okay, Galatians. Would you turn there? I want to show you what the Bible says about this thing about being deceived. And I'm just going to give you a few verses of Scripture. Turn to Galatians chapter number 6. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's talking about reaping and sowing. And the Bible says this. Look at verse number 7. Be not deceived, for whatsoever... Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I promise you, I'm not a big... I didn't make A's in grammar, okay? I did make B. But I do know that there's an understood subject here. The understood subject in this sentence, be not deceived. Who's the subject? We know what the verb is, be, right? You be. You is the understood subject. You, don't you deceive yourself. That's what Paul was saying. Hey, believer, don't deceive yourself. He didn't say don't let the devil deceive you. He didn't say don't let the world deceive you. He said don't you deceive yourself. And we're going to get to some that just come right out and say it. Don't deceive yourself. He said this. Don't you be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Don't think you can sow one thing and reap another. Right? Is that what he's saying, brethren? You can respond to me. Yeah, we're going to go back to Old Testament days. I'm going to say something. You say, amen. Just like on Mount Ebal. Right? You be not deceived. So don't make yourself believe now that I can do one thing and reap another. No, if you plant corn, you're going to reap corn. You're not going to plant corn and reap sweet potatoes. Somebody say amen with me, right? If you do, let me know. We're going to make a lot of money. Amen. I mean a lot. We'll build that building debt-free. Be not deceived. You can't make poor choices and reap good things. That's what he's saying. So don't deceive yourself. Don't think, well, I'll just continue not to do what God said, and yet my life's going to turn out okay. No, it's not. No, it's not. I've been doing this a long time, folks. Many of you have been saved for a long, long time. And there's not one person who says they're saved that has made decisions against God's word and did not live to regret it and pay the price for it. So please hear me now. Doesn't matter. Whether it's a preacher, a pastor, a deacon, an evangelist, a church member, old, young, Christian home, non-Christian home, you reap what you sow. Yeah. Turn, if you would, back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Would you turn there? First Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm just going to look at a few of these, and then I'll get to the final thing about trying to justify yourself, and I'll be through. But I just want you to understand, you can deceive yourself into believing some things. I think we all have at one time or another. It's amazing how we can make ourselves believe something we just know is not so. You just know it's not so, but you play mind games with yourself so much, you just want to feel right about it. You know, you want to somehow feel good about the decision, knowing that was not a good decision. And this is not going to end well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, are you there? Look, if you would, in verse number 9. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, I mean, they had a slew of problems in this church. If you've never read about the problems that the folks in 1 Corinthians had at the Corinth church, you ought to read about it. I mean, they had a pile of problems. So it says this, he said in verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know that people that don't do right things, now listen to me, when you get saved, God saves you to do right things. That's what righteous means, right acts. Don't you know that people who are saved do right acts, and that the unrighteous, those that do not do right acts, they're not going to receive the kingdom of God. They're not going to inherit it. Be not deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Don't try to make yourself believe, well, I'll just live in fornication, and I'll be an idolater, an adulterer. I'll be a sodomite. I'll be a pedophile. I'll be a self-pleaser, a thief, covetous, a drunkard, a reviler, an extortioner, and I'll go to heaven. Paul said, hey, don't deceive yourself. You will not. Is that right, brethren? I'm not adding anything to the scripture. It's just we have so watered down this thing by trying to justify, well, maybe they just didn't get what I got. Well, if you got saved and they didn't get what you got, they didn't get saved. There's only one way to get saved. And when you get saved, you got the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to live the Word of God. Please hear me. And yet our churches are filled with people, God forbid there'd be someone here tonight or even watching by live stream, that is sitting in a church like Corinth thinking, I'm okay. I'm going to heaven. Living in adultery. Huh? Yeah. No remorse, no repentance,
Just doing it. Thief. Steal. I'm an extortioner. I'm a crook. Right? That's what an extortioner is. I steal money from people. You know, But I'm okay and I'm going to heaven. I'm here to tell you, you're deceiving yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Well, I prayed a prayer one time. Well, something happened. It didn't take or something. You better check up on that. Did you repent? Did you understand? Has there ever been a change in your life? Because the Apostle Paul here is telling some church folks back in Corinth, he's saying, don't deceive yourself now. Don't deceive yourself and think you're okay and you're living in open sin with no remorse and no sign of repentance. He said, don't deceive yourself that way. Don't you let somebody tell you you're saved because you quoted some little prayer with them and think, well, now I'm safe now. I'm going to heaven. If your life's not changed and you haven't been converted, you're not going to heaven. And I'm trying to warn somebody here tonight. I don't know who, but I just know God laid this message on my heart. Maybe somebody watching live stream. I don't know. I'm not angry. I'm animated about this because this is serious business. Let me give you just a couple of more, and then I'll finish with this justification thought, okay? Turn, if you would, to James. And I think most of you know where I'm going. James chapter number 1, okay? I see this one about as much as I see any of them. Would you turn there? I want you to see this in your Bible. I just want you to know now, the preacher loves you, okay? Whether you're the youngest person in this sanctuary tonight or the oldest person, whether you've been here, the full-time Fellowship Baptist Church has been celebrating it to be 25 years and on Saturday, or whether you're the newest member, I care about you. I love you. And I'm telling you this to try to help you understand something here. There's a lot of people deceiving themselves. And God has just laid it out as clear as He can lay it out, brethren. Right is right and wrong is wrong, and you choose. And if you're saved, you choose right. God said, I'm going to bless you. But now if you choose wrong, God said, there's going to be a curse on your life. There's going to be consequences for poor choices. I'm glad God is merciful when we make poor choices, and we all have. We all have. That doesn't make it okay. God's still going to deal with it, right? But I'm glad that God is merciful and He gives us space for repentance. And if we'll acknowledge that we've sinned and confess it, God said, I'll forgive you, right? Right, brethren? This is that part on the mountain where you say amen. Thank you. Amen. Got somebody representing Mount Ebal over here. I appreciate that. Sometimes a preacher just knows you're still awake. I just need to know that. Look at verse number 22 of James chapter 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Okay? The first part of this, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Well, you know, it's just so simple to see that, right? We've heard it. We've quoted it. We even understand it. Don't just think you can hear the word and that's where it ends. No, you've got to do the word in order for it to become effective in your life and for it to be pleasing to God. Knowing is not enough. God's looking for doing. Knowing in itself is not enough. Now, what happens when somebody comes to you or someone comes to me and they're trying to help us and we say, oh, I know, and we pretend we know it all? Well, James says this about you, okay? You're deceiving yourself. Look what he said. He said, you're deceiving yourself. He didn't say, the devil's not deceiving you. That false teacher's not who's deceiving you. Listen to me now. It's not Joyce Meyer. She's a deceiver. And Mount Ebal can say amen again. She's a deceiver. Okay? Joel Osteen's a deceiver. Okay? I could go right on down the line. There's some Baptist preachers. Deceivers. Listen to me now. Deceivers. But he didn't say these were the ones deceiving you. He said, you're deceiving yourself. If you think, because you know that it's wrong to steal, that you're okay, you're deceiving yourself. You're okay when you don't steal. God will bless you for not stealing. Not just because you know not to steal. Not because you heard the preacher preach it's wrong to steal. But when you begin to practice not stealing, when you say, I'm not going to be a thief, then God can bless your life. And we could go right on down the line, brethren. Right on down the line. When God says it's wrong, we say, well, you know what? I'm not going to do it. Why? Because God said, I heard, I read, I know that God said not do it. Now I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it. God said, now I can bless your life. But when you think, well, I know that. No. You're deceiving yourself to think that, well, I know that. I know you ought to be in church. Everybody knows you ought to be in church as a Christian. Well, if you're not doing it, you're deceiving yourself, and God's going to curse you. Yeah. Well, everybody knows you ought to give your tithe. I mean, my goodness. I mean, preacher, that's elementary stuff. Well, it's not enough just to know it. If you're not practicing it, God's going to judge your life. And you're deceiving yourself to think that you're okay just because you know it. And I'm just telling you what God said now. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We have really gotten away from this. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to and said, well, I know. Well, it's good that you know, but the question is, are you practicing what you know? It'd be better not to know than to know and not to do. Isn't that what the Scripture teaches? Amen. Let's look at one more, and then I'll get a thought on justified. Turn, if you would, to 1 John. You see what all these Scriptures are saying? It's saying you're the one that's deceiving yourself by trying to make yourself believe. Now, hear me now. By trying to make yourself believe that your wrongdoing is okay. You're deceiving yourself. My wrongdoing, my poor choices have no consequences. You're deceiving yourself, Dale. Dale, listen to me, son. You're deceiving yourself. If you think that you can make poor choices and you can do wrong things and there's no consequences, Dale Freeman, you're deceiving yourself. And you need to get a grip on it. And understand, this is not a game. You might think it is. Your buddies may think it is. But I'm going to tell you, the God in heaven says it's not. And He's the one calling the shots, brethren. And so it's serious. In 1 John chapter number 1, look if you would in verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, you see it? 1 John 1, 8, you see it there? We deceive ourselves. Didn't say the devil deceives us. Didn't say the devil's deceived you, saying that you're sinless, that you didn't sin. Did you do wrong? No. You sure? God said it was wrong. Did you do wrong? Well, no, I don't see it as wrong, but God said it was, but I don't see it as. Well, now, if you say that you haven't sinned when God said it's sin, you're deceiving yourself. I'm just telling you again what God's Word says here. And I'm telling you, there's something about mankind. This is where we come down sometimes, and we like to make ourselves believe it's one way when it's not. And He said, the truth's not in you. All right? So this thing of deceiving ourselves is very real, and I just want you to know God repeats it over. I haven't even read all the Scripture to you that says we deceive ourselves. Yes, the devil deceives us, okay? I'm very much aware of that. He tempts us. He paints pictures that are not so. He does. He makes us see things as they're not, or not see them as they are, and he tries to lure us and draw us. I understand all that. Listen, I fight the same devil you fight, all right? But this thing of being deceived, really a lot of times it just comes right down to us just willfully trying to make ourselves believe that things are what they're not, or are not what they really are. So let me show you this, and then I'll be through. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 4. Would you do that? And I know we're turning to Scriptures, and I normally don't do this, but I want you to see this, okay? In Romans chapter number 4, when I was studying, I've been studying through the book of Romans, and I've really enjoyed it, and I hope you'll read some through it, and as we go through it, it'll be a help and a blessing to you. I want you to know, in Romans 4 and verse number 5, the only person, according to this verse of Scripture, that God will justify is the ungodly. All right? Look at Romans 4 and verse number 5. See, you have to realize you're a sinner before you can be justified. Now, this past Sunday, I told you what justified is. Now, a lot of people think justification is being made righteous. That is not what justification is. You will never find that in the Scripture. You will never find that. It means to be declared righteous by the judge. Okay, doesn't mean that you're made that. It means you're declared that. In other words, God says, I'm going to deem you righteous because of a situation. Well, Christ died for our sins. His righteousness was imputed to our account. Our sin was imputed to him. And now God said, I'm going to declare you righteous. Now, you see verse number 5? Look at it. Romans 4, verse 5, the Bible says that God justifieth the ungodly. You see that? God justifies the ungodly. I want you to turn to Luke. I'm going to turn to two more scriptures and then I'll be done. Luke chapter number 7. Did you know that you can justify God? Did you know that? God can be justified. You say, oh no, he can't. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Remember what justification is? You didn't forget that soon, did you? Declared righteous. You can declare God righteous. Now, you can't make him righteous. He already is righteous. Because justification doesn't mean made righteous. All right? It means declared righteous. God can declare me righteous. I can declare God righteous. Are you there, Luke? Look at Luke chapter number 7. Look at verse number 29, okay? Luke 7, verse 29. The scripture says this. It says, and all the people that heard him and the publicans, what? Justified God. They declared God righteous. They said, you know what? God's righteous. And he is righteous. They justified God. Now, God justifies the ungodly. He declares them righteous. The ungodly can justify God and say, you know what? I see that he is righteous. God does always only good. Amen, brethren? Now, why'd you say that, preacher? Right? You didn't told us about deceiving ourselves and doing right and doing wrong. Because I'm going to tell you why we deceive ourselves. You ready? Turn over, if you would, to chapter 10 of Luke. And here's the answer. I believe with all of my heart, here's the answer. Luke chapter 10, and this will be the scripture, and then I'll pray and we'll be done. So God says there's blessing and cursing. There's good and there's evil. There's life and there's death. You get to choose. All right? But now, choose carefully. Because there's consequences to your choices. There are. And no sin goes unpunished. I'm glad that God is merciful and forgiving. He's gracious. I'm so thankful that he is. So please don't view God as this bully in heaven that's just waiting on you to mess up so he can just crush you. No, God lovingly wants to lead you to do the right thing to protect you from hurting yourself in sin. And so he tries to lead us into righteousness, all right, for his name's sake. God wants to do good to show that he is a good God. I want you to know that. You read how God dealt with Israel. God told them, listen, I want all these nations around here to know that I am the God of goodness. And so when you live a certain way, they'll see that your God is different than the other gods. God wants me to live that way too. And God wants you to live that way. What happens when we're tempted to sin and we make poor decisions? Why do we keep deceiving ourselves? Well, there was this young man in Luke chapter number 10. Are you there? And he came up to him in verse 25 of Luke chapter number 10, the certain lawyer. He said, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And you know what Jesus said. He said, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said in verse 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. Now watch this next phrase. But he, willing to justify himself. So we know that God justifies the ungodly, Romans 4, 5. We know that man can justify God, Luke 7, 29, which means declare righteous. But now here's a man declaring himself righteous. He's trying to declare his own self righteous. Well, see, here's where we get in trouble. Please don't miss this. This is where you get in trouble, right here. We think we are the standard. We think we are the standard. If I say it's right, it's right. If I say it's wrong, it's wrong. That's not it, brethren. Please listen. Please, I plead with you. Don't live your life that way. This man knew. He was convicted. When you read the rest of this story, and many of you have, it's been preached here on more than one occasion. This man knew he was getting ready to make the wrong decision. He was grieved. Read it. When he walked away from Jesus that day, he knew I made a poor decision. But because he justified himself, he declared himself righteous, I'm right. I don't care what he says. I don't care what anyone says. That was his attitude. And it cost him. I believe it cost him his soul. Don't let poor decisions cost you. Don't deceive yourself. Don't try to justify yourself. Allow God, with his loving hand, to work in your heart. God loves you. If God tells you not to do something, it's to protect you. If God tells you to do something, it's so you can be blessed and you can grow and you can mature in your life. All right? Let's stand to our feet. I know tonight's message was not line upon line and precept upon precept. I enjoy just preaching through a book. I enjoy preaching through a passage. But this is a thought that God laid on my heart. Because I've been thinking, what's wrong with us? You know, what's gotten into we Christians in this 21st century to where we think that we can just do what we want to do and there's little to no consequences? Can I tell you, God hasn't changed at all, brethren. God hasn't changed his view, his mind, his outlook, his discernment, his punishment of sin. He just hasn't changed. But boy, we sure have. Our society has, and many of our churches have, and I don't want to change. I don't want to deceive myself into thinking that maybe what used to be wrong is not wrong anymore. If God said it was wrong 30 years ago, it's wrong today. Amen. And what used to be right, well, God's changed his mind. So, well, it's no longer right. It's no longer right. You don't have to do it now. No, if it was right 100, 500 years ago, it's right today. If God says it's right, it's right. If he says it's wrong, it's wrong. God help me. God help me to be consistent, and God help you. Would you bow your head and pray with me? God help us. We want to do what's right. Don't let us deceive ourselves. Don't let us justify ourselves, Lord. God, don't let us do that. Help us to be honest and candid and open before God.